As Emily just reminded us, it is Palm Sunday, and in form like I do, sometimes we won't be reading any of the Palm Sunday stuff. So part of the reason I'm doing that is I'm actually going to be taking parts of the Holy Week, beginning with Palm Sunday, on Easter Sunday, and talking about my picture of how they all fit together and what we might get from them. So today's message is in some ways a warm-up to the Easter message that I'll have next week. Our text reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke. We're reading in chapter 14, verse 1, and then continuing verses 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guest chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And then the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, give this person your place, and then disgrace you. And if you had started in the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move on up the table. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, and case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. So my message this morning is titled, Turning Tables, or Why You Shouldn't Invite Jesus to Dinner. At one time or another, most of us have probably taken part in an icebreaker of some sort. If well done, they are a fun way to get to know people a little bit better. One of the most popular icebreakers is unbelievably easy to play. It's basically, each person takes turns naming three people, real, living, or dead, that they would like to have dinner with. It's actually a pretty fascinating game to play. You can learn a lot about a person based on the three people that they pick. Possibly even more fascinating for some of us who are somewhat studies of sociology is to look at the combination of people that they pick. Do they pick people with the same interests, like Mozart and Beethoven and Chopin, or do they do like a diversity of interests, Houdini and Churchill and Anne Frank? Do they look for something that would just provide a pleasing evening, like Oprah and Brian Williams and Patti LaBelle? Or do they want something more tension-filled, like Margaret Thatcher, Hugo Chavez, and Bill O'Reilly? At any rate, it is a fun game to play, and it's a fun game to watch being played. But I'd like to add just the one little statement, a little caveat to it here. The game becomes considerably less fun to play if you are a minister and people in the room know it. The list sounds a lot more like this. Let's see. The artist formerly known as Prince, Nat King Cole, and, oh, you know, of course, Jesus. John Stewart, Sean Hannity, and, you know, probably Jesus. Bobcat Goldthwait, Arsenio Hall, and then Jesus. I'd say Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that people wouldn't actually want to have Jesus at their dinner party. All I'm saying, I'm just saying that I have been in a room playing this game and people didn't know I was a minister, and I've been in a room playing this game and people did know I'm a minister, and Jesus comes up a lot more often when they know that there's a minister in the room. I have to admit, when folks start saying they'd invite Jesus to their dinner party, I wonder if they really know what they're getting themselves into. I mean, I suppose there could be the Margaret Thatcher, Hugo Chavez, Bill O'Reilly types who want to have tension at their dinner party, but I suspect more people are the Oprah, Brian Williams, Patti LaBelle types who just want an interesting time and some polite conversation at the dinner table. Before you invite Jesus to dinner, you really should know what you are getting into. You see, biblically, Jesus has a long and somewhat radical history of just ruining dinner parties. He is not the docile, get along with everyone guest we usually invite to our actual dinner parties. In today's scripture, he uses the gathering as an opportunity to confront power and to confront the games that people play. He turns the table, making the least the greatest and confronting commonly accepted social standards. I mean, let's just look at the evidence in the book we read from, Luke alone. Early in the book, Jesus and his disciples are found at a dinner party, but this is not a party full of the powerful and important as they would have expected at times, at least in how they saw it in that society. This was a party of the outsiders and the spies, tax collectors and sinners. And based on the accusations of the Pharisees, it was a party of gluttons and drunkards. A few chapters later, he lets a woman described also as a sinner interrupt the dinner party as she cries on his feet. And then he scolds the host of the party for being bothered by it. And then there is, of course, the final dinner party, where he uses the opportunity to make his death announcement, accuses one of them for betraying him, and then another for denying him. It is remarkable what you learn when you actually read your Bible. Things like this. If you want things to be quiet and pleasant at your dinner party, Jesus may not be the person you want to be there. If you want to go on life reasonably undisturbed, Jesus may not be the person you want at your dinner party. However, if you are ready to be redirected in life, if you are ready to be reconnected with a healthier spiritual life, if you are ready to be re-inspired, re-instructed, and reoriented toward a more loving life, well then, you can count on Jesus getting that kind of party started. It does beg the question, however, what is it with Jesus and dinner parties? Well, the second part of the title of the sermon, Why You Shouldn't Invite Jesus to Dinner, is actually done a little bit tongue-in-cheek, in that if we're talking about a contemporary party, it's not so true. I'm not sure that we would see the exact same behavior that we see from Jesus in the Scripture, because you see, In his day and age, dinner parties were events which provided the opportunity to play games. And I'm not talking about the name three people games, but a more insidious game, more insidious one-upsmanship kind of games of climbing the social ladders of power and political ladders for the elite. Another thing you may have picked up on if you read your Bible closely and paid close attention was that Jesus was not a fan of hierarchies. One time he was even known to have a rather short fuse when the powerful were taking advantage of those who had very little, and he started flipping tables. What we have here in today's story is not so much Jesus flipping tables as much as Jesus turning tables. As I've mentioned, in his world, dinner parties were full of social games. Who's the most important? It's probably actually part of the reason why an argument broke out at his final dinner as the disciples started arguing with who gets to sit closest to him, who was the most important. The social games of who's the most important were played not only in who was invited, but it was played in all the way down to where they were sitting at the table. The closer you were able to sit to the host, the more important you were at these parties. So I'm guessing that's a big part of why Jesus was a bit of what people might see as a troublemaker when it came to dinner parties, and why in today's scripture we hear about Jesus yet again disturbing the comfortable and comforting the disturbed. In today's scripture, he begins slowly turning tables, and by the end, he has them totally reversed. It starts off seeming innocent enough. It even plays into the attendees' need to be seen as important, to not lose any rank in climbing the social ladder. So using just sort of a bit of logic, Jesus simply points out that within the structure of their ladder-climbing game, it would be more honoring to be asked to move up to sit closer to the host of the party than to be asked to move away from the host of the party. One shows that you're more important. The other shows that someone else is. When I read it, I can just about see Jesus watching the reality of that tight logic as it slowly registers on each person's face. Watching them realize that humility, in this case, was the best course of action. And just then, as they recognize it, he turns the table a little bit more. He says, you know, the ultimate act of humility wouldn't simply be to take the lower seat. He then turns to the host in his can't take him to a dinner party kind of way and confronts the host saying, if you really want to be important, at least in terms of a healthier spiritual life, when you give a dinner, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. There he goes again. Disturbing the comfortable, comforting the disturbed. You just can't take Jesus to a dinner party. Now, I know I said that our dinner parties are a little bit different than they were then, and they are. I mean, sure, we do sometimes see these big political banquets where only the rich get invited, and those with the most money and influence get to sit closer to the candidate. But let's face it, Jesus probably wouldn't get invited to any of those parties. If we want to have dinner with Jesus, we have to go to those less expected places. As a matter of fact, it's the places where you might find some of the very people Jesus tells the hosts to invite to the party, at least as he tells them in our scripture. Matthew 25:37-40. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, and thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you and naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer to them, truly I tell you, just as you did it unto one of the least of these, so too you did it unto me. While it is true that most of our modern dinner parties aren't about social or power games, it turns out that increasingly, feeding people who are hungry is becoming a question of social and power gains. A few years ago in a church not far from here, just down I-40, they did something that they had been doing for many years. They went to a city square and fed those who were hungry, just as you did it unto the least of these, so too you did it unto me. And they were stopped. They were told that if they feed the hungry, they would be arrested. Just as you did it unto one of the least of these, so too you did it unto me. Now, it took a week or so to work out, but that particular case was resolved in a positive way. But I have to say, the rationale that was being given for feeding the hungry and why it should be illegal sounded a lot like reasons that simply came from places of power and privilege. It's the very thing that Jesus confronts in the scriptures we read today. As a minister and a follower of Jesus, it is something that more than worries me. It worries me in part because this was not an isolated incident. It's happened in multiple cities in Florida. It's happened in Atlanta and San Francisco and even in Kalamazoo. We are slowly, criminalizing feeding the hungry. And in some places, we're basically made it a crime to be homeless publicly. Just as you did it unto the least of these, so too you did it unto me. Our lesson from Jesus today is to humble ourselves even in the face of what society says is important. To put the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind's needs in front of our own. The lesson should also inspire us to consider the ways that we can advocate for those very same people. The very simple move from charity to justice, like we talked about a few weeks ago. Justice, the very thing that we're taught we should do. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly. Because you see, if you ask Jesus what three people would you invite to dinner, he'd probably say, the helpless, the homeless, the hungry. It's the very thing we should do. Do justice. Love kindness. And walk humbly. Are there those who have thoughts or comments that they'd like to share about our scripture or message today? We have one in the back here.
Thank you, Mark. One more good one. And if I was paying attention, I think what I'm going to say helps make the point. My son handed me a handful of bumper stickers the other day. I don't know why, but just handed them to me, and I haven't put it on my car yet. I'm thinking about it. It says, remember, Jesus loves all those people you hate.
Really great point. Yep.
Morning, I'm Charlie. Another memorable Palm Sunday, Mark. Thank you. I
appreciate that very
and
much.
And all I can say is Jesus sure knew how to shake things up.
And the truth.
Thank you.
There we are.
I don't know why this is buzzing. But I was struck by the line in the song that Ralph and Elsie so bravely sang, that hearts starve as well as bodies. And so I'm pondering that.
Great point.
Thank you.
I love that. That's fantastic. Are there any others?